Now a hulking space barge drifts into view. Four towers topped with radar dishes stand above a flat deck. Dome-like structures hang below the platform beneath the towers. The massive rig moves slowly through space. Words appear on the screen. Commercial towing vehicle, the Nostromo. Crew, 7. Cargo, refinery, processing 20 million tons of mineral ore. Course, returning to Earth. The Nostromo tows the refinery rig over us, revealing slender probe arms behind three thruster rockets. The underbelly of the rig is an intricate network of shafts, hatches, and segmented panels. Inside Nostromo, metal pipes line the walls of a long, narrow hallway leading to laddered hatches like a submarine's. An intersecting hallway, floored with red metal grating, stretches toward an eight-sided panel door several yards away. In a stark white galley, cushioned benches curve around a table. Clean coffee pots sit atop a counter beneath a tidy rack of plastic cups. The galley leads onto the ship's bridge. Our view passes instrument panels of wire circuits, square red and blue buttons, and viewing screens at stand-up workstations. Sweeping back to the center of the room, we see an overhead console of video monitors visible from all points of the bridge. The bridge stands still and empty. A fan riffles papers on a workstation. A grimy film covers the casings and instruments of bulky equipment. Thick bundles of flexible metal tubing run across consoles and equipment. Above the padded pilot seats, flight helmets rest in front of darkened computer screens. Red valves on their visors read, "Emergency Helmet." A stained plastic coffee cup sits beside the boxy buttons of a keyboard. With a burst of green and red panel lights, the console switches on. The screen lights up with the name Nostromo and a long serial number. The helmet visor reflects a flashing horizontal cursor. Columns of data climb up the screen, flashing on the helmets above the pilot seats. Now lights flicker on throughout the ship's passageways. Dingy, compartmentalized walls lead to a wide octagonal door marked with a red and white checkerboard icon. The door slides up, releasing a blast of air which rustles the sleeves of a lab coat hanging in the corridor. Inside the dim, vault-like room, glass-covered chambers reach out from a mechanized hub. Inside them, the outlines of human figures are faintly visible, lying in sleeping postures, their arms folded over their chests. A pair of slippers and a cotton wrap lie discarded on the floor beside two of the chambers. As bright light floods the room, the glass lids of the chambers lift like insects' wings, revealing shirtless men sleeping inside. Beside a burly sleeper with ebony skin, a man with milky white skin and a slight build stirs from his cushioned chamber. He weakly lifts a hand to remove an electrode patch under his ear. Patches are visible on the necks and chests of the other men, still in deep sleep. The thin waking man sits up cross-legged at the end of the bed, his eyes closed and mouth slack. A bony Adam's apple protrudes from his long neck as he tilts his head and slowly takes in air. Later, in the galley, an orange tabby cat sits on the table as the crew eats together. Warrant Officer Ripley, her shirt sleeves tightly rolled, fills her coffee cup. Beside her, craggy-faced Brett, a technician, horses around with the engineer Parker, a barrel-chested man with a wide smile. The slightly built executive officer, Kane, sits beside him, sipping from his cup. Science Officer Ash stands and eats cereal from a bowl. Their captain, Dallas, leans back in a relaxed posture, one foot in the seat of his chair. He has a shaggy head of hair and a graying beard. Beside him, seated next to Ripley, Navigator Lambert finger combs her wet, closely cropped hair.
I am cold.
Still with us, Brett?
Right. Yeah. Oh, I feel dead.
Mm-hmm. Anybody ever tell you you look dead, man?
Brett mouths something to Parker from behind his hand.
Oh, yeah, right. I just forgot something, man. Before we dock, I think we ought to discuss the bonus situation.
Right.
Brett and
right.
I, we think we ought to... We deserve full shares, right,
right,
baby?
You see, Mr. Park and I feel that the bonus situation has never been on an equitable level.
Well, you get what you contracted for like everybody else.
Yes, but everybody else gets more than us.
Dallas, mother wants to talk to you.
Dallas glances behind him.
Yes, your lights from my eyes on me.
Okay, you're dressed, huh? Parker? Come on.
Can I finish my coffee? It's the only thing good on the ship.
Dallas pauses in the doorway of the bridge and looks over the empty room. Crossing to a side wall, he presses buttons on a control pad, and an interior door slides open. He enters a short hallway, where he types another code into a keypad that releases a glass door. Removing a keycard inside, he inserts it into a slotted wall. Lights at the end of the passageway flicker, and another door slides open. Wearing a rumpled uniform and a crew jacket emblazoned with Nostromo, Dallas enters a control chamber of sectioned white walls covered with blinking lights. Sitting, he swivels his chair to face a small screen embedded in the wall.
Good morning, Mother.
A line grid appears on screen, then dissolves. He types, and numbers calculate, producing a readout for the over-monitoring address matrix. He scrolls down the list of options. The screen fades to black, then an underlined message appears. Interface 2037, ready for inquiry. Dallas types, "What's the story, Mother?" Now in the bridge, Ash, Ripley, Lambert, and Kane sit at individual control stations. Ripley has wavy brown hair and smooth, sharp features.
Plug us in.
Ash's control panel lights up.
Thank you.
Lambert studies a gridded star chart on her computer.
Where's Earth?
You should know.
It's not our system.
Scan.
The map scans the region.
Contact traffic control.
This is commercial towing vehicle Nostromo out of the Solomons. Registration number 18092469. Calling Antarctica traffic control. Do you read me? Over.
Nostromo tows the towered refinery rig through space. An intricate network of pipelines and mechanical compartments scores the exterior of the spacecraft's dull gray hull.
Nothing.
Keep trying.
Calling Antarctica traffic control.
Lambert watches a line move across a computer-generated map.
I found it. Just short of Zeta 2 Reticuli. Haven't even reached the outer rim yet.
Calling Antarctica traffic.
The hell are we doing out here?
Me, over.
What the hell are you talking about?
That's not our system.
I know that.
In a maintenance corridor.
You don't notice how they never come down here? I mean, this is where the work is, right?
It's the same damn reason we get a half share of their one. Our time is their time. That's the way they see it.
No, but
same old shit, man.
But I think I know why they don't come down here. It's because of you. You don't have no personality.
Later, Parker and Brett join the rest of the crew in the mess room. Parker smiles at Ash, sitting in a chair.
You happen to be in my seat. Can I have a seat?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ash gets up. Parker wipes off the chair and sits down. He wears a blue bandana around his forehead.
What's happening now, baby?
Captain Dallas leans over the table.
Well, some of you may have figured out we're not home yet. We're only halfway there.
What?
Mother's interrupted the course of our journey.
What?
Yeah. She's programmed to do that should certain conditions arise. They have.
Like what?
Seems she has intercepted a transmission of unknown origin. She got us up to check it out.
A transmission? Out here?
Yeah.
What kind of a transmission?
Acoustical beacon that repeats at intervals of 12 seconds.
SOS?
I don't know.
Human?
Unknown.
So what? We are obligated under Section
32. I hate to bring this up, but this is a commercial ship, not a rescue ship.
Right.
And it's not my contract to do this kind of duty. And what about the money? If you want to give me some money to do, I'd be happy to, you know, just
watch.
Let's go over the bonus situation. We have never
Can I say something?
Let's talk about the bonus situation.
There is a clause in the contract which specifically states any systematized transmission indicating a possible intelligent origin must be investigated.
I don't want to hear it.
We don't know that's intelligent.
I want to go home and party.
Parker, will you just listen to the man?
Ash aims a flinty stare at Parker.
On penalty of total forfeiture of shares.
You got that?
Well, yeah.
All right, we're going in.
Yeah, we're going in.